It's Radio Yorkshire, and we made the trip from SW19 and Royalty to Castleford and a Rugby League Royalty in Gary Scott. Oh, it's still loud, dude. We're still celebrating that win there.
Oh, are they ever? Yeah, the players have just left all the fear. And I say the fans just absolutely love it here, Rich. You know, we certainly when they get the victory, as you can hear, Sweet Caroline hanging out very, very loudly. And, well, I tell you what, the way Castleford have played this afternoon, it's been, at times, classic, classic Cass. Great rugby league football.
Yeah, I guess, as we've said throughout the season, they've been inconsistent. But when they're on, they are a joy to watch and listen to.
Oh, Rich, are they ever? And I say, the way they just moved the ball around this afternoon, and again, it's a credit to the players, the way that Darrell Powell wants them to play, and they love to express themselves, Rich, and I say, the three guys who at times, you know, they don't play very well, sorry, don't play very much, I should say, when they've got a full quarter of players, but Ryan Hampshire has been outstanding, so has Minikin, and also Frankie Mariano, that try what he scored, it was just like seeing me old Muck and Kevin Ward or Lee Crook steaming onto that ball and just bumping off players there. Honestly, that was worth the admission alone. It was a great, great try, and I say, mate, nobody was going to stop that. But overall, the Cass players from 1 to 17, the way that they went out with the game plan, the way that the attractiveness, as I say, classic Cass, and this is what people want to come and see.
Well, it's good to see Mariano, especially back from injury. He's had so many injuries over the past couple of years, but impressive this afternoon for the Tigers, who secure their place in the top eight. You know, as much as we can heap praise on Cass this afternoon, and deservedly so, what's happened to the Catalan Dragons? They seem to have fallen away in the last couple of weeks. I seem to remember we were talking about a whole Catalans grand final a few weeks ago, and now we're not talking about either of them being in the final.
Well, I tell you, I think if I mentioned the Catalans, maybe for the treble as well, I won't be for sure. That's gone now. I can reassure you, well, it's gone with them being out of the Challenge Cup. But I tell you what, Rich, they just don't look as though they're a team. They do not look as though they're a team. There's no enthusiasm there. There's no team spirit. And at times, it's boring one-out rugby league football. And the coach in Fezzenew, he's got huge problems. Huge problems, because that team at this moment in time, they're shot. And now, St. Helens, you know, they're going about the business nice and quietly. They're knocking on the Catalans' door. Big problems for the Catalan Dragons.
I know the game obviously died away there as it headed towards its conclusion. But I guess that's a mark of how comfortable it was for the Castleford Tigers this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely, and I say we're just aware that, you know, that they played the game, because, you know, again, just you know, the quality coach, what Darrell Powell, he knew his forward pack wasn't going to bust them down the middle, so straight away, you know, the intention was we're just going to nice and wide away from the ruck area, and then when it needs to go wider, it was quite simple, you know, they did that and just move the big Catalans forwards around, and I say that again is great coaching from Darrell Powell and getting the best out of his players. And as we say, young Ryan Hampshire, you know, before the game I mentioned, Rich, you said, well, you know, he's playing on the wing, is he a winger? Well, he's not a winger, but one thing for sure, he took the opportunities absolutely brilliantly what came along. The Catalans didn't play on his side from a point of view there, and he didn't let Darrell Powell down. Greg Minikin, he always steps in very well in the centre, and as I've mentioned, Frankie Mariano. But quite simply, for 1 to 17, everybody's done their job, everybody knows the roles under Darrell Powell, and as a team collectively, they were outstanding.
I mean, you obviously changed positions in your career. Where do you see Ryan Hampshire in the 13?
I see him as a fullback. I see him as a fullback. From unless he plays number 7, being that supporting number 7, the supporting role from there, and maybe, you know, we'll play it number 6 as a supporting role, because obviously Luke Gale plays 7 from there, unless Gailey goes to stand up. But for mine, he's a fullback, where quite really, if he gets the ball, just run as quick as what you can and make as many yards as you can, because then what he can do is a fullback, as Luke Dawn does at times, great support player from there. So for mine, Hampshire's a fullback. That's if he stays here at Cass, because we know he's on loan for a season, Rich. But for mine, he's a fullback.
Well, he's not going to be fullback at Wigan, is he? That's what we're doing.
No, not a chance. Not a chance.
And I guess if we look at that, and you mentioned it in commentary with Luke Dawn leaving to go back to Australia at the end of the season, that is a position they do need to fill. But they also got that young man, Mr. Roger Chase, to fit in the team as well.
Yeah, they have indeed. But he's going to be a huge hole to fill. He's Luke Dawn. And again, I asked the question to Matt Orton, you know, why is he retiring? Is he, you know, obviously his body can't take it anymore, or is he being offered a good job back home in Australia? This sort of thing, because I tell you what, he's playing outstanding rugby league, and his position of play, his defence is good, but his creativeness, he plays like a second standoff third man out from there, and, you know, his try scoring ability when he comes in, when he chimes in there. So he's going to be a huge loss, but as I say, it depends, you know, where Rangi's going to play. Is he going to play at fullback, or is he going to stick with Hampshire out there? But I tell you what, it's a nice dilemma for the coach, Darrell Powell, isn't it?
Indeed. Luke Gale's 50th game for the Tigers this afternoon. It sounds like he was pulling the strings again as well.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And I say, again, the terminology nowadays of his game management, that's what they say nowadays, Richie, don't they? And, yeah, absolutely outstanding. And I say, compared to what Richie Myler and Thomas Boss did, they did absolutely nothing. Simple as that. And as I say, Luke Gale, you know, back to his best. And again, nicely supported by Paul McShane. The compliment of halfbacks, as I keep mentioning it many, many times, I've got the compliment of the halfback where McShane will step in a little bit, just take a touch of pressure off Luke Gale. But then when the big players need to be organised, then Luke Gale's the man for the Cass Tigers.
I like McShane. It seems that when Wakefield and Castleman did that almost swap deal last year where Moore went to Wakefield and McShane went to Cass, it seems to have worked out well for all four parties in that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And Scott Moore at Wakefield, he seems very happy there as well. So, so for both parties, it's been a good deal. Yeah, but McShane's always been a quality rugby league player, as I've mentioned before. I've known McShane for many years, you know, on Slip Park side. That's where he played with my son. I've known him since a 12-year-old. So there's always been a quality rugby league player in Paul McShane.
It's almost as if perhaps the kind of player Leeds would need, but...
stop rubbing that in. Mr. Shaw, right, because you're a Wakefield fan, stop rubbing that in.
Yeah, but Leeds now, you know, they're 3 wins out of 4. Yeah, they're still bottom of the table, but a big win for them on Friday night in the Gary Schofield Derby, as no one calls it.
Well, I tell you what, it was a great win for Leeds, wasn't it? And, the three big things for my Leeds performance were simple. The forwards ripped in. The forwards absolutely ripped in, and the whole forwards had no answer. And picking Jordan Lilley at number 7, okay, at times, you know, Jordan, he made a couple of mistakes, but he was trying his hardest for the organisation to get him around the field. So again, but the big plus was, you know, four players decided to have a go. Sutcliffe at fullback, Callum Watkins decided to have a go. He wanted to get involvement there. Again, Callum Watkins just showed, you know, he's the best centre in Super League, English centre, when he wants to play. And I say the combination with Moon and Ryan Hall back to his best. So, the Rhinos, quite simply outstanding on Friday night. But everybody's asking the question, like we all doing now, why did it take so long to realise they needed a hooker? Seguiaro made a great debut for mine. Okay, at times, a couple of mistakes, but you'd expect that for the long journey from Australia. But, huge plus for Leeds. And, you know, since that game, people have been saying, Scotty White, we had a hooker all year. Well, my name's Gary Schofield, not Gary Everton.
Well, on Jordan Lilley, for a first point... I know Leeds are bottom of the table, I know they've been disappointing all season, but wouldn't the fans be more accepting of a Jordan Lilley making mistakes as a young player and looking ahead to the future? Because obviously this season's a write-off for Leeds. Lilley could be the player in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years' time. We look back and go, what a player he's been.
I agree. Richie, I can't make a debate for it. I agree totally. And I say, when I watched, at times I watched him purposely, and the kid was trying. The kid was there and organised and experienced players around. And that's what Leeds have been missing. They've been missing that leadership, because we found out now, obviously, Rob Burrow, he's not an organiser. We found out with Danny this year, he's not got that organisation and that, I would say, authority out there that could do. And I could see it with Jordan was trying there, and he was getting them around the park. And players, and the experienced players, were responding to it. So, you know, the big question for Macca is simply, when Danny comes back, does he drop Jordan Lilley again? But all that'll do, he'll just inflate the kid, he'll knock his confidence again, because all he wants to do, he wants to play for Leeds and do his very best for Leeds, and I would stick by him. It's as simple as that.
And I guess on the flip side, Hull just hit the mid-season slump with defeat against the Huddersfield. Well, they've lost to the bottom two teams in Super League in successive weeks now.
Well, who would have thought that? You know, after that great victory against Warrington, and everybody, certainly me and a lot of people included, were saying, oh yeah, Hull are the real deal. But over the last few weeks, they managed to get, an half-decent performance against a poor Catalan side in the Challenge Cup. And who would have thought, you know, the two defeats against the two bottom clubs, and the same Super League. So, yeah, big questions now for Radders. And my situation is with Hull is quite simple. It's quite simple. People are going on about Mark Snead. Well, yeah, and I've never denied the fact that Mark Snead has got a great kicking game. But, yeah, what he does with the kicking game and get him in good field position, yeah, that's good. But if that's the way that Hull are going to play from a creativity point of view, then they're going to come up empty. Because Mark Snead, for mine, with ball in hand, doesn't create anything. And, yes, what people have said, well, he needs help at stand off. Of course he needs help at stand up, but you know, Leon Price, you know, he doesn't seem to be mixing it at, with the best at this moment in time, and Tumavavi's getting injured, so the situation for Hull now is quite simple. You know, the forward packs have caused problems. Well, they didn't cause a lot of problems to Leeds, to be honest, because, you know, they got ripped into. So the Hull pack, yeah, they're excellent at times. They've got plenty of pace in the back line, but it's that creative point of view, and that's going to be the big problem for Hull FC. Who have they got there? Who have they got there to add that creativeness, what Mark Snead doesn't bring with a ball in hand?
Just going back to Thursday's game, Warrington... clinical professional performance, 40 points to 14 against the Salford Red Devils. Whether that result had anything, or the performance had anything to do with the points deduction appeal failing for Salford, I'll leave up to you to decide. But Warrington getting back to they've had their little wobbly mid-season, now they're getting back to where they were and up to third in the table.
Yep, they did, and I say, just a short note on Salford, quite simply the 6-point deduction, that performance, deflated performance, the players quite simply, you know, they're just blaming, you know, the Kukas for the miserable end of the season, what they're getting now, and they can't blame anybody else except the man in charge is making, you know, he's made absolutely huge mistakes for that side under Ian Watson. You know, they've looked at times a pretty good side, and as I say, totally deflated, and you couldn't really fault the players from there. But take nothing away from Warrington, getting back to something like the best, and as I say, the 40 points, what they got on there, and yeah, Tony Smith would have been pretty happy, but overall, Salford were very, very ordinary.
Well, had they got their points back, they would have been eighth.
They would have, Richie. If they'd have got the points back, they would have been absolutely buzzing. You would have seen a totally different side. But that side now, and that club is totally deflated. It's totally going in the wrong direction because of one man, and that's Kukash. Simple as that.
Well, when Matt comes back, we'll ask him about Warrington's performance, because he sees them week in, week out, to see how they're getting along. Back to Friday. And St Helens sneaking past Widnes, 12 points to 10. They've put together a bit of a run now, and obviously with that defeat for the Catalans, they're just 2 points behind the French side in the table. So all that pressure on Kieran Cunningham a few weeks ago, but now Saints are back in form.
Well, they're sneaking up, aren't they? And you know, like we said, Hull a couple of times this year, and certainly Wigan most of the season, you know, they've been winning ugly. Well, that's exactly the performance what St Helens certainly got on Friday night. And again, one question for Dennis Headscatcher: how many games now have they lost by 2-4, maybe 6 points? But at the end of the day, it's an 80-minute game, and St Helens got them 2 points, and as we've said already, certainly knocking on the door of the Catalan Dragons. And I tell you what, the way that Catalans are going and the way St Helens are going, they'll be going through the Catalans' door, will St Helens, in the next couple of weeks.
It does appear that way. Catalans take on Wakefield on Saturday in the south of France. Wakefield, of course, beaten by Wigan. Last play of the game, Lewis Tierney with a try in the corner. You were texting me on. I was busy working on Friday afternoon, and I get this text: Wigan, 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 Wigan.
Richie, that was before the game, and I say also to the Wakefield fans as well. And you know, it was a tongue in cheek. It was a tongue.
If they've not worked out your wind up, merchant, well, exactly. I don't know, they never will.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Richie. You know, it was a tongue in cheek. You know, because we all know how Wakefield gloated the 62-0, and rightly so. Yeah. And right, who would have thought that? You know what? It was 3 months. Well, I'll tell you the day it was. I think it was April the 9th when you beat Wigan 62-0, and rightly so, you milked it all and you gloated it, rightly so. And so from a tongue-in-cheek Twitter message I put, well, Wigan, they will be fired up, Sean Wayne won't need any motivation, the players won't need any motivation, Wakefield were going there with young kids and a depleted squad. And so quite simply I thought, well, yeah, Wigan don't forget them sort of things, they'll be looking for revenge. So me, tongue-in-cheek Twitter saying, yeah, you're going to get beat by 70, and then all hell break loose, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, I guess we're all entitled to be pretty. But listen, Wakefield fans, at times, don't take it to heart. Let's just have a bit of banter. Don't take it to heart, OK? That's just a bit of advice for you. Do you think they'll take it, Rich?
No. I think they're still blaming James Charles, even though he sent off Sean O'Loughlin for a bit high.
Oh, Richie, I'll tell you what, he didn't miss, did he? He didn't miss, and
young Anakin might be out for, you know, with the concussion.
Yeah, so. Well, it's an absolute shocker, and I know people, you know, they're going about an early plead guilty or a charge B, what have you. I tell you what, that tackle, realistic, because we talk about nowadays with concussions and, you know, head-eye tackles. That was absolutely shocking, and for mine, It's 6 weeks. He's got to be 6 weeks. It is.
Well, there's got to be some kind of... I know we've spoken about this before, and Craig Murdoch's spoken about it as well, but in terms of injuries that cause concussions, surely if concussions are the hot topic that we need to do as much as possible to avoid them in the game, then tackles, hits that cause them should be harshly punished.
I agree. Absolutely. And as I say, when I saw that, and again, what is very annoying, and because we all know supporters are one-eyed and at times are just thinking about their own side, but how Wigan fans can say he didn't deserve to be sent off, I just find it absolutely disgusting, because quite simply, you know, he didn't miss. It was a shocking tackle and he deserves 6 weeks. Simple as that.
And Wigan... yet again, there they go, and scrap another victory out there with 12 men, and you know, credit to them for that, and they are now top of the table.
They are, and Wigan are an 80-minute side, aren't they? Mm. They are an 80-minute side, and they don't know when they beat, and I guess from a point of view, it saved my blushes. We getting that victory, to be honest, even though it wasn't by 70 points, but yeah. Sean Wayne again. A win's a win. We'll move on. Simple as that.
So it's okay, Gary. I tipped them by 32 on the tipping competition, so I was well out. But never mind. Elsewhere this weekend, I was at Hull KR. Nice trip to the west of Hull to see them take on the Huddersfield Giants. And the only time Hull KR led was the last 10 minutes when Ben Kane popped over a penalty. Interesting that Andy Kelly, final game in charge of Huddersfield, had Danny Brough back, started him on the bench.
Mm. Well, to be honest with you, and why not? Because, you know, Jamie Ellis a week before, he was absolutely outstanding and took control of the game. But I tell you, one thing for Hulk is the Rovers, and what they do seem to be showing, they're showing that spirit and that enthusiasm for each other. They seem to have, you know, plenty of spirit in that side there, and that never say die attitude. And that was a huge win for them on Friday night. Obviously, here now at Casford this afternoon, it's put any end to them making the top eight. But. Yeah, they've still got that spirit in there, that never-say-die attitude, and it was a great win for them. You know, but again, you ask the question with Huddersfield, they were in total control, what, 18-6 or something like that, managed to lose another game. So, a big head-scratcher. Well, Andy Kelly now, he did a good job over the three or four games he was in charge. He's on his way to Australia now, and I say it's a big head-scratcher for the new coach who's coming to the Giants whenever that gets announced. Do we know when it's getting announced?
No idea. Much like Hull KR, we don't know what's
going on. Right, so it's Chris Foreman in charge of Huddersfield now, is he?
I believe so. I don't know if that's been officially announced either. I know Andy mentioned that, so I assume that's the plan. But I don't think I've seen that announced anyway.
So how long did Brophy play there on Friday?
He came on at half-time. Oh, no, he came on just before half-time. He was okay. You know what he's like if he's not in control of the game.
That's what I'm saying. So what happened then? Did Jamie Ellis? Did Jamie Ellis just come off a little
Ellis
bit?
Ellis was still there, and no, I think they moved really out to the centre.
But what I'm saying is, from Jamie's performance, did it go quiet because obviously Danny wanted to do everything like he does?
Yeah, I think that was probably a fair. I mean, they took the drop goal after 7 minutes of the second half, and you thought, I know you've got an 18-6 lead, but is that a bit early? And as it turns out, it was. I mean, obviously, if they win by a point in the end, you go, oh, great game management, as you say, from...
Hey, Rich, I'll tell you what. Do you know what, Rich? The Catalan players are just coming out of the Cassessian. Do you know what they're having? The pre-end match, what they're putting into the bodies? Pizza. They've got big box. Hold on, Rich, can we finish this interview now? They've got pizza.
It's a delivery.
I don't think they're not having ice baths. They're eating pizza. Boy, oh boy, I want to go in the Catalan dressing room, yeah.
Well, hopefully they eat a load of pizza before Wakefield travel there next week.
That's a new thing. Is that a new one, pizza after the game? Hey, he's done that, hasn't he? Leicester plays Ranieri. Is that where they've got it from?
Yeah, but they won the Premier League. Catalans, they've not won tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, Catalans are going to win nothing. I'll tell you that for nothing.
I got to see a penalty try on Friday, which I haven't seen for a long time. So much so that everyone got confused by it, mainly because I think when everyone thought he'd given a goal line dropout because Ben Thaler made like a kicking motion. But as it turns out, he was saying that, no, they kicked the ball away from Jake Connor while he's putting the ball down. Now, in fairness, from my angle... And if you know Craven Park at home, the KC Lightstream Stadium, the main stand, The media sat at the back. I was the furthest away as you could get from the try line where Connor was adjudged to have had the ball kicked away from him. So I didn't really get a great view of it, but it confused everyone. A penalty try, which could have been crucial in that game. But in fairness, the Hull KR fans were booing Ben Thaler before the match, so they probably brought it on themselves. No, seriously, he was running down the in front of the East Stand pre-match for the warm-up, and he got booed. It was superb.
Well, to be honest with you, I think now, you know, at, referees just start taking note, because everybody's losing respect for you in the game. So why don't they just take it on board and ask the questions themselves, saying, well, why are we getting all this bad publicity? Why are we getting all this booing? You know, why are we not being respected? Well, it's quite simple, because your performances are very, very odd at this moment in time. So just take a look at yourselves.
You were talking in the match about rule changes and stuff, and I know you're not a fan of the ball putting your foot over the line thing. And something else you mentioned was the players throwing the ball away, and it should be a penalty. And I know it wasn't penalised then. I saw a couple of times it happened on Friday night. It's just blatant time wasting. It should be, instead of a scrum because of whatever, you know, you've knocked the ball on, you've thrown it away, it should be a penalty for dissent.
Yeah, of course it should, because that's it. It's like a professional foul, Richie, or dissent. Yeah, I agree totally. Should be a penalty. Simple as that.
We'll get on to the RFL, see if we can. While we're applying for the Super League general manager's job, which is. Gone up for advertisement today. We can go and sort out the rules of rugby league as well. I don't know. Do you fancy applying for that job, Super League general manager?
Richie, what's the point? No chance. What's the point?
One other, I guess, piece of coaching news on the Super League this week. Willie Poaching leaving his job at the end of the season at Hull Kingston Rovers. I kind of feel sorry for him that he wasn't kept in charge until the end of the season when he was there anyway, but he's leaving to try and find a head coach's job somewhere in the sport.
Yeah, it's, I guess, disappointing for Willie, and I thought he would have got the job for the remainder of the season when they decided to part with Chris Chester. So, yeah, but he's done a good job at Hull Kingston Rovers, fully respected by everybody at the club there, and, yeah, so, unfortunately, these things happen. So, yeah, wish Willie all the very best, and I'm sure he'll be in the game very, very quickly.
Well, I mean, you remember back to when Hull KR beat Wigan in the Challenge Cup last year, and Chris Chester came out after the game and said it was pretty much Poaching's defensive plan which won it. So if people are looking for a good coach to sort out your defence, he might be the man. And you know, we've seen plenty of rugby league people drain off to the 15-man code because of their defensive structures. I'm sure a few will be looking and thinking, well, this could be a man for us.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And also, you know, he served his time quite, you know, he was at Warrington with Tony Smith, wasn't he? And, you know, and I say he's been with Hull Kingston Rovers. So he's done his apprenticeship, so he's ready for the head coach's job. And I'm sure he'll be back in the game very, very quickly.
So we're sending you to Bradford next Sunday, Gary.
Thanks.
As they take on Oldham. Now, bear in mind, they... What was the score at half time this afternoon? 52-0. 52-0 at half time. Yeah. They actually lost the second half 18-12 to Whitehaven this afternoon. It could be a similar result next weekend.
Well, it could be.
And there are only now, a point separating Halifax, Batley, Bradford and Featherston in that race for the top four.
Yeah, that's hotted up very nicely, isn't he? So who do Batley play next week, Rich? Who have they got? Do they?
Bear with me, I shall tell you.
Just there, so because, well, Bradford will win, they'll beat Oldham, won't they? So,
well, yes.
So London and Lee, they've qualified, so... Halifax, are they still in there?
Yep, Halifax and Batley have 27. It's Featherston and Bradford on 26. Featherston play Halifax next week.
Boy, oh boy, well, so what a fixer that is. But yeah, Bradford will absolutely hammer Oldham there. And well, what a great finish that is to the season. Oh, going to be a great finish anyway.
Indeed. And in terms of League One this afternoon, I know you were... Keep your eyes on Keighley.
Yeah.
They were taking on York City Knights, and much like they did at the Summer Bash, they won 34-28. Sadly for them, they don't make it into the top four, or the top the promotion places, rather, but they do finish sixth before the split of the table. So they're still in there. York finished the highest of Yorkshire's clubs in third behind Toulouse and Rochdale, but again, I guess they'll be happy to be in the mix still as they try and get promotion, but probably left themselves with too much to do. But at least they've won this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, great win for them. But yeah, they're still in the mix. And I say they're the same. They've got seven games to get themselves anywhere near to get the promotion. I know they were very ambitious this year, Keithley. Certainly from a point of view, they were looking for promotion, straight away. They were, the high hopes of hopefully finishing maybe top of the league there, but for some reason it hasn't happened this year. But they're still in there with a shout, and again, it's all consistency and performance, and that's what Marty will be looking for till the end of the season.
You mentioned it in commentary about just going back to that Bradford scoreline. I mean, how can you stop a game like that? It's not like where, to go back to that Wakefield-Wigan game early in the season, Wakefield wins 62-0, but that's a game that it's an unexpected result. Anyone could have seen going into that game that would have been a big thrashing, and it's a matter of how do we sort out the competitions below Super League, I guess.
Well, you won't be able to stop it, because when you look at it, certainly Bradford being full time and Whitehaven not. But I tell you what, Rich, we're not going to be talking about it maybe as a one off or twice off. When they come into it, the team from Canada next year, the Toronto Woolpacks or whatever they're called.
Toronto Woolpacks, are they from Emmerdale?
Yeah, whatever they call them anyway. But one thing for sure, when they come in, they are going to be putting scorelines out that are going to be absolutely embarrassing, because the calibre of players, what they are going to be signing, compared to the teams that are going to be in that division, we're going to be talking about this week in and week out, because it's going to be a mismatch and a no contest fixture. It's as simple as that. It is. But you can't stop it. When you've got a squad who's full time, when you've got players who are far better than what the opposition are, then these scorelines are going to happen. So Matt Hall's just come back as well now, Rich, to be honest with you. So he'll just rejoin us, will Matt, and just see what Darryl Powell and Laurent have said regarding the game. So
bonjour.
Is that all he said? He walked out.
So what did Darryl Powell say, Matt?
He's very happy
with that one.
He's very happy. Big raps for Rocky Hampshire.
Yep, rightly so.
Said he stuck his hands up and said, "I'll play for you on the wing, Darryl." We don't know if he's actually played there before. Laurent Frasinou, obviously very disappointed. He's saying his team are very tired and.
Tired?
Yeah.
Oh no, please, let's not. No. I'm not having tired for a reason whatsoever. But Dallo's just walking down there now. So what do you reckon about Big Frankie's try?
He was very impressed with Big Frankie's
try. Darryl, just ask you, what about Frankie's try? Happy? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Have a few beers, mate. Yeah.
Darryl's
all there live on radio. Just stuck the hand up.
But what did he say about Frankie's try? Got to be happy.
It was brilliant. Yeah, it was really happy. That will be in the press conference when it gets turned round and Rich puts it out on air. You will hear Darryl full of praise for Frankie Mariano in that try.
It was sensational, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the French court saying they look tired. Oh, please.
Before you disappear, Matt, I wanted to ask you about Warrington. Are they starting to look good again now?
They're looking better, yeah. They play better than they did at Hull KR the week before. Declan Patton had a really good game on Thursday night. Didn't quite get into it at the Lightstream Stadium the week before, but Thursday night took charge, took control and run those lines and run those plays, which allowed Warrington to get on the front foot and took a little bit of pressure off Chris Sander on Thursday night, to be fair to him. But no, Warrington are coming back.
Well, I know you know, obviously Mark Wilson sorts out these fixtures we do here on Radio Yorkshire. I know you and Gary, you always want the best games. When he's away for the Super 8s, I'll make sure you end up going to Hull KO. Is that all right, Matt?
No. No, because they're not going to be in the 8s, are they?
No, I mean the middle 8s.
Yeah, but it could be a Sunday. If it's a Sunday, Rich, it's not too bad, but don't send me on a midweek, not on a Thursday night or something daft like that.
Oh. Are you only allowed to go to one half of Hull, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the wife's rules, that. Yeah, she don't like me going. She don't like me going the other side of the river.
Hey, I tell you what, to be honest, I'd never play for the red and whites, but I get more respect for the red and whites than I do for the black and whites. Believe that one, honestly. I played for four and a half years for the black and whites. 122 appearances, 107 tries, and they can't stand me. I don't understand it.
Well, on that bombshell, we shall leave you to enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Obviously, we're all celebrating tonight because Andy Murray's won the tennis, and we're all supposed to be really excited. So.
I'm not.
You're not a big tennis fan.
No.
Gary, you play much tennis?
Oh, I'm useless.
You're the British number seven there.
I can't get it over the net. I just can't get it over the net, so it's not one of my games, to be honest.
I've also had the good news, Rich, that the wife's in the bar downstairs.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the horse jungle, so I think that's my next port of call.
Oh, well, superb. Well, what a great ending to the programme. Matt and Gary there, going to the bar. Matt Horton, thank you very much. We shall speak to you again soon, no doubt. Gary, you'll be back with us tomorrow night, won't you?
I will indeed. Looking forward to that, Rich. I think it's going to be nice and feisty. Me and Matt Wilson are going to rip into each other over a couple of subjects. We have been ripping in over the weekend. I can't wait for tomorrow night, I can reassure you.
Excellent stuff. Matt Horton and Gary Schofield at the Mender Host Jungle. Thank you very much indeed. It's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.